All right. I'm going to make you play with pipe cleaners today. Anyone under 12 definitely gets one. Everyone else, you might have to share with a partner next to you. This is an exercise that I have made you do in a certain way before, but if you haven't played with one of these for a while, they're very fun and you can make so many great different shapes. So if you get one in your hands, I'd like you to just practice first of all, and let's see how good of a circle you can make. If you have one in your hands, make a circle as round and as symmetrical as possible, and then show it to us, hold it up once your circle is complete. Okay, now I got it. A little boxy. Okay, not bad. Get the hang of it. Okay, very good. Now let's try making a mountain. Make a mountain. Okay. Yeah, mountains can be all shapes and sizes, can't they? Great. Perfect. Okay. We're getting there. Okay, next one. Make the state of Michigan. Sure, let's just do the mixed part, Lower Peninsula. Or you can pick a partner and someone else could do it. Great work, everybody. Okay. All right, everybody at least has one in their row, right? So you can be on a team if you yourself don't have one. Now, this scripture that we are going to hear this morning is very familiar. If you've ever been to a wedding, you have heard the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. Exactly. And as I was reading it, I realized how many words there are about feelings or emotions or experiences that we have. And so my challenge for us today is to name a couple of those feelings and to move our pipe cleaners in a way that represents those. So you could be creative with this. It might be what your face looks like if you are feeling that thing, or it might be its own abstract design. But first, I would love for you to shape with your pipe cleaner, what does jealousy look like? I know it started hard, right? We're all confident for a minute. What does jealousy look like? It could be what your face looks like when you're jealous. Or just how it feels. Ooh, I see some knotted up ones. Ooh, okay. Maybe create some zigzags, some squares, a wobbly sort of face. Yes, I love this. Okay. Okay, flatten it out. Next one. What does a good frowny face feel? What does hope look like? Really stretching your brain this morning. What does hope look like, either on your face or in a pipe cleaner? Oh, like a smile? That's good. Ooh, that almost looks like a question mark. I like that. That looks like fish. Great. Okay. There's a working heart. I'm very impressed. There's some sweat happening right now.
Ooh, that's okay. Really
cool. All right. I like that. I see some rainbows. Interesting. Okay, two more. Show me what impatience looks like. Impatience. Oh, this is so, I see some like knots of things and I see flat lines, some squiggles. Yeah, you know, like, ooh, like a wound up coil. I love that. Okay, last one. This could be really easy, but I invite you to be imaginative with it as well. What does love? Ten points if you shape an anatomically correct heart. Okay. Is that a meeting? I see some three hearts, and I see some smiles, and I see a heartbeat. Oh, beautiful hearts. I see smiles.
These are so great. I love it. So keep your sign of love. Keep that with you. And even more than that, keep your imagination and your playful spirit around scripture and around all the ways that God needs us. This has been one of my favorite times in connecting with you all. So we talk to our children and with our children, and we recognize that we are all children of God and that we too have a way and a place to be playful and to use our imaginations with scripture. So keep your hearts as a symbol of that and remember to keep that love. Would you all pray with me? God, thank you for the shape of love, however it looks to us. Thank you for meeting us in words, even that are so familiar, we feel like we know them by heart. Meet us again in the text for today and in our communal time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or spirit for our next hymn, 320, The Church of Christ in Every Age. Our scripture text this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I've become an adult, I've put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror, then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain these three things, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word to us. I pray that you would open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to the message you have for us today. Amen. Almost exactly 6 years ago, Garrett and I came to Ford Street in the middle of the pandemic when I was 9,000 months pregnant. And right away, there was a session meeting scheduled. And many of you were at that session table. We met out in the Great Hall and we spaced ourselves out at least 6 feet between people and we screamed and we had some people on Zoom on the computer and we had masks on, but we met for that session meeting. And as we were preparing for that meeting, some of the wisdom from our mentors and our Presbyterian colleagues rang in our ears. You start off that first session meeting strong. You chart a vision. You speak about where you want to go, you establish your leadership, and you be bold. And Garrett and I thought about how we wanted to start that session meeting, and we said, you know, actually, I think we need to start with love. We're going to start softly. And we brought this passage. Some of you remember it and have talked about it since. It turns out this passage is so well known, is so simple, and yet is so difficult. Sometimes the most simple things, the things that we say we know are a foundation for us, are actually the hardest to carry out. And so we talked about this passage as we first began, and today I want to bring it as well on our last Sunday with you. This text is known as the Love Poem. It's one that, as I mentioned, you've probably heard in weddings. We are asked to preach on it or speak about it in at least, 85% of the weddings we do. For good reason. It has beautiful things to say about a charge for romantic love. But it is so much more than that. And it was not written in a romantic love sort of sense. I actually first heard this scripture text on the TV at 3 a.m. or whatever it was, watching Princess Diana's funeral. As I have shared before, I did not grow up in a religious family, so this was a foreign text to me, and I heard someone reading this passage, and I was like, Mom, what is that beautiful poem? Where does that come from? And she said, that's actually from the Bible. It is a poem that is appropriate for funerals and for weddings, for beginnings and for endings. And it is also a poem that is so important for the middle. That's where Paul actually writes it, to the new church in Corinth, a church that is trying to figure out who they are in the midst of a bustling world, a world that is so obsessed with power and hierarchies and status and achievement and making sure that you are the absolute best and doing everything correctly, and this church is fighting about who's the greatest and who has the best spiritual gift and how they're going to win at being the church. And Paul's reminder to them is, no, stop. You have to do it in love. Even if your ministry is bustling and you're doing all the correct things and you believe the right things and you are serving people and you are changing lives, but you are doing it without love, you are missing the point. Paul says to them, I'd rather you have love and do less effective ministry. That reflects the heart of God. I'd rather you have love and have less effective ministry. What does it look like to live in this mindset of the love of God spreading to each other? I'm going to share three brief ways I have seen this community live in to that call and encourage you to continue in that way. The first way that I have seen you all embody this kind of love, I summarize with the phrase, found family. You all are so good at connecting and becoming like family, even when there is no blood relation. One of our first days here at night, called Marilyn Moore on the phone and just got to know her a little bit. And she kept talking about her babies and her baby's babies. And we were kind of keeping track. We were like, how many children do you have? How many grandchildren do you have? And we realized her babies were all of the children of this church who are now, you know, in their 30s and 40s and have children. And she was sharing it was such family language that we were like, what a beautiful web of families. I spent so much of our first couple months trying to map out who belonged to who. And then I finally decided this is actually a church family. And I have seen you all care for people who are struggling. People who come maybe to the end of life or to a heart diagnosis. And some of you step in as advocates, as literal caregivers, as family members to love them. And my encouragement in this is to continue to do that work, but also to reach out and accept it when it's offered to you. To be honest with this community, with people within it, for the seasons when you are struggling, and to accept that help when you are lonely, when you are hungry, when you are tired, when you are uncertain, when you have a medical procedure coming up. Care for one another. Be a found family to receive and to give. The second way I have seen you all embody this love so well is in the courage that many of you have had to give faith another try, and maybe even more specifically, to give a church another try after you have been hurt by church institutions before. There are many of you who grew up in a church system that was not welcoming to who you are as a person, and it is so reasonable to completely walk away after that. But I have seen so much courage in your willingness to separate who Jesus is with what the faults are of institutional religion and church congregations, and to give community a try again. And that has been such a beautiful testimony to the Spirit of Jesus. My encouragement there is for all of you to remember to be that welcoming community, to know that we at Port Street don't do it perfectly, but we can be a place where people who have all kinds of backgrounds and hurts can come and do the hard work of deconstructing a harmful faith and reconstructing one that is actually centered on the love of Jesus. Lastly, I have seen you all embody this kind of love in your openness to God's Spirit, your willingness to try things and to change. I don't know that you all realize how unique you are as a congregation in your openness to try things that might sound a little bizarre at first. To having
jazz musicians every first Sunday, to playing with pipe cleaners in a worship space, to experimenting with new events and programs. You know, when we first arrived, someone described Fort Street as having two major pillars. And those pillars at the time were the corral and the open door. And so much has changed with those things, right? And I think part of that has been your realization as a community that the pillar has to be Jesus Christ and the love we have for one another. The pillar has to be our worship. And we can still be a people that deeply love music and that are so centered on service that it affects everything that we do. But your willingness to watch programming shift and to try new things and to fail at some of them and then decide, well, let's try something else next time, has been such a testimony to the love of God and the following of that Holy Spirit. So my charge for you in that is continue to hold things loosely, to know that the cornerstone is there, the love of God, the love of neighbor, the worship of that God, and that all that you do flows out of that. The service that is so central to who you are, the meaningful change you're able to give to the people of Detroit in food, in grants for sustainable housing, the ways that you are able to lift up God in music and song, the community you have with one another, comes because there actually is a pillar rooted in Christ, not in any earthly thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what Jesus said was the most important thing. Paul reminds us what that kind of love looks like. That is my charge for you. Those are the memories and the treasures that I hold as I leave this place. And I know that God takes you in good direction. You have been around for 175 years, and I can't wait to hear about the 200th celebration as you move forward. Remember Paul's charge when you're tempted to choose the right pastor or do the right thing or make the next program the best one, that actually, as long as we're doing it with love, we can't go wrong. Let's pray. God, thank you for your words and reminders of love. Thank you for this community and the ways that they have shown it through found family and willingness to give faith a chance, and the following of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.